hit it.
You're listening to the Edge Radio program, a show so hot, your radio might catch on fire.
And welcome back to the Edge Radio broadcast. On our newsmaker line, we have with us this evening David Ells. David, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Daniel.
Looking at your website, it looks like you've got a lot of new additions, and we want to talk about dreams and visions about the coming. Is it a Holocaust, you say, on America?
There will ultimately come a Holocaust on America. There's no doubt in my mind about that. The Lord has shown it to me through word of knowledge in the scriptures, which I consider even higher than dreams and visions, although I've had some dreams and visions. Mm-hmm. But America's spoken of all through the scriptures, through types and shadows. And, mm-hmm. I mean, God delights to hide things from the wise and prudent and mm-hmm. reveal it unto babes.
Okay. Well, tell you what, David, I got a question right there, because I was just reading here in Indianapolis, the Indianapolis Star is reading in the back they've got Billy Graham there, and somebody asked Billy Graham if there was a code in the Bible. And he said, of course not, because God plainly tells us everything. But it seemed like you just said that God wants, maybe that he doesn't plainly say everything, that maybe we have to have a dream or a vision. Does God say everything plainly, or are there things we do have to search?
No, he clearly doesn't say everything like that. Even his disciples in Matthew 13, even Jesus' disciples complained that he spoke to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the people around them, which they really wanted to know the truth, that he spoke to them in parables. Mm-hmm. And they asked why, and Jesus said, well, unto you it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but unto them it is not given. God yeah. had decided to pick these simple, unreligiously educated disciples, fishermen mostly, and teach them the truth. But he also knew that the highly educated Pharisees weren't prone to change. Mm-hmm. And so he didn't pick any disciples from among these people who had made up their mind, mm-hmm. you know, and they had their own axe to grind, and they weren't really trustworthy.
Mm. Well, why? Okay, so you say God speaks to us in parables. Is he speaking in parables to you, or is he speaking plainly?
Well, he speaks in parables to a lot of people. A lot of people get dreams, and most dreams are parables and need interpretation. And I'd like to exhort folks out there that have dreams. So many have come to me and said, I had this dream, and it was so real to me, but I just don't understand it. Mm-hmm. And when they tell it to me, I a lot of times understand something, because I've had so much time in the scriptures that it kind of opened your ears to hear a little better. Mm-hmm. Most dreams can be interpreted right straight out of the scriptures. All the symbolism is there. What it represents is there. I exhort people that have dreams like this that you believe are from God, that you go in there or get your concordance and find out what those symbols mean, and God will speak to you like that. It is definite that he hides these things from the wise and prudent and reveals it unto babes, just as Jesus said. And the Bible says it's the glory of God to conceal a thing, and the glory of kings to seek it out. See, God doesn't want to show truth to people that would just use it for their own selfish purposes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so he hides it from them.
Hmm. Well, how does that square? Isn't there a scripture that says if you don't speak plainly, you're like a tinkling cymbal? How does that square with that?
Yeah, that's 1 Corinthians 14. And, of course, he's talking about using the gift of tongues in the midst of people that don't understand without an interpretation. Of course, in 1 Corinthians 14, it says if the gift of tongues is given to an assembly, there must be an interpretation in order to help that assembly. Mm-hmm. But now we're talking about an assembly of the righteous, and the Lord didn't even accept the Pharisees and Sadducees and an awful lot of people in that day into mm-hmm. the assembly of the righteous.
Mm-hmm. Well, David, we're going to be talking a lot about dreams and visions and prophecies tonight, because where I'd like to get the program, because you're obviously a well-respected person, and you have a lot of information, and in fact, somebody told me that what they've learned in 30 years would probably fit on your fingernail and what you know, but I want to see if we can't get the broadcast to where maybe somebody out there can understand how they can have some sort of dream. Because I believe that that maybe in the end times, I suppose, that we need to be hearing ourselves, because we won't be able to call you up and say something bad happens to get some advice. So perhaps we all need to be kind of understanding that if we can tune in to dreams or visions, how does the average person do it?
Well, you know, when I've taught on dreams or visions, I run into a lot of people that have ignored them, and because they didn't really think that they were coming from God. It does say, by the way, in Acts chapter 2, that in the last days, saith God, I will pour forth of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. Mm-hmm. So it is a promise to the New Testament people of God. Once people learn that God is speaking to them in a dream or a vision, they begin to respect it more.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't respect them, God doesn't normally speak to you in that way, because you just ignore him. Of course, he doesn't want you to ignore him.
Yeah.
So once you learn that this is a gift given from God, mm-hmm. and that it's something to pay attention to as a word from the Lord, then he begins to speak to you more.
Mm-hmm.
People who have brought to me their dreams and visions and thought that they were just pizza dreams, you know, and I shared some interpretation with some, and they realized, wow, God was speaking to me. Well, all of a sudden now they realize and they respect that it could be the voice of the Lord, so they begin to pay attention, and then God starts speaking to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Job 33, it says, "For God speaketh once," verse 14, mm-hmm. "yea,
mm-hmm.
twice, though man regardeth it not."
Oh, mm-hmm.
In a dream, mm-hmm. in a vision of the night,
okay.
when deep sleep falleth upon men.
All right. Well, David, that brings us to our first question right here on the from the Fast Blast on the EdgeAM.com website. This is a question. Why does it seem that God stirs people at about 3 a.m.? Is there something particular about that time in the morning?
Well, that's never really been my experience. I have woken up all times of the night and had the Lord speak to me in different ways and had dreams. But I would suspect that that's probably something common to the caller there. You
mm-hmm.
know.
Yeah.
But,
well, you mentioned that if we disrespect that, the fact that God may be speaking to us in a dream, what if we did disrespect it in the past? Does he give us an allotment of time, say like tonight, if people say, whoa, I better pay attention to those dreams, and do they need to repent to get those dreams back?
No, God is really merciful with our ignorance, you know. I mean, it's to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not.
Mm-hmm.
To him it is sin, the Lord says. So, I mean, he's very merciful with our ignorance. And
mm-hmm.
once a person gets the revelation that God does want to speak to him in that way, and they will respect it if they ask God for dreams. I've prayed over a lot of people. In fact, I'll pray for your audience today that the Lord will give dreams and visions. And I know that he will do it. I know that people out there who are hearing what we're saying today, when we pray for them, they will start having dreams or visions.
I'm all for it. I'd like to see that myself, because I think maybe perhaps that might be part of our armor that we may need to go to. Is there evidence in the Bible where somebody was given a dream and they changed their life course as a result?
Oh, constantly. The book of Matthew, the first couple of chapters are just full of dreams that changed the course of history. My own life. You know, the thing about a dream is the Bible is pretty general. But it doesn't tell you particular things, you know, like where God wants you to go tomorrow, who he wants you to fellowship, who he wants you to marry. You know, it gives you principles for figuring these things out, you know, and righteous principles for figuring what you should do and what you shouldn't do. But these particular things can be spoken to people in dreams, in visions, in prophecies, in words of knowledge or words of wisdom that come from God straight to you. God wants to have a personal relationship with his people. And he does it through these gifts in a particular way. He wants to get, you know, he said, "My sheep hear my voice. Mm-hmm. They follow me."
Mm-hmm.
You know, so God designed the filling of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and dreams and visions to give personal guidance to his people.
Mm-hmm.
I suggest something else, because I know that a lot of people don't get dreams and visions until they get filled with God's Holy Spirit. This is a gift that all of God's people need to have. They need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When this happens, it's like a window opens into the supernatural realm. And people begin to sense more spiritually. They have the guidance of the Spirit. They have the wisdom of the Spirit. Jesus said when the Holy Spirit has come, he will lead you, he will guide you in truth.
Mm-hmm.
And he gives great discernment, spiritual discernment that your own personal spirit has never experienced mm-hmm. without the empowering of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Let me ask you this question. If you have dreams, let's just say that you said that the Lord speaks to people in dreams. Well, is a particular night, can you have a God dream and, say, a negative dream? Maybe you're out going out killing somebody or you've been hunted down. I mean, does God interject a dream in there, or does he take over the whole dream session? How does that work? Can you go from a negative to the positive like that in one night? I mean, I've had bad dreams myself. Is that a night I wouldn't hear from the Lord?
Well, you know, the Bible says a man can receive nothing except it come from heaven. Even when the devil is tempting you, God is involved in this. You see, mm-hmm. bad dreams can reveal something to us or about us. Bad dreams can warn us about things that are coming that are negative. Bad dreams can warn us about lusts that live in our flesh that God wants us to deal with. You know, if you're giving in to the devil in your dreams, well, very likely you've got a problem that God wants you to deal with, and he could let you have a dream like that just to reveal to you that you need to stop right here and deal with that problem.
Mm-hmm.
See, so negative dreams aren't necessarily, as some people would think, from the devil, you mm-hmm. know, so to speak.
Yeah.
But
when you have a dream, and let's say your particular case there, because I'm not qualified to speak about dreams at this point, maybe later, but do you have a conversation with God, or does he speak to you and you just go about in your dream and you just listen?
Well, sometimes in dreams, the Lord, you carry on a conversation with God in the dream or the vision itself, which is kind of neat. I had one recently. I can't remember it completely, but I got to carry on a conversation and ask the Lord some questions concerning my future and concerning my ministry, and he gave me answers, and it was really neat, you know, concerning things that were coming for me personally, you know. And that happens sometimes. The Lord puts it in your heart in the dream to ask a question that you need to know. It may even be a question that if you were awake you wouldn't even bother to ask God,
mm-hmm.
but it's a question that he wanted to give you an answer for,
mm-hmm.
so he puts it in the dream or the vision for you to share that with him, and he gives you the answer that he wants you to have.
Okay. When you have these dreams, or I guess now you're not, do you differentiate? You're not differentiating yourself for dreams. I mean, so that if you have a certain dream and God appears to you, then certainly some of our listeners could anticipate possibly that God would speak to them in the same way. Correct.
Of course. God
okay.
is no respecter
okay.
of persons.
Okay, so there's hope for the rest of us out here in radio land. Then,
oh, yes.
Then, have you been transported to heaven, or do you remain in your body? Where is it the dream takes place?
Well, you can be transported in a vision, or you can be transported in a translation.
Transported where?
Well, wherever God wants to transport you.
Okay. Now, you've been transported, haven't you?
Yeah. I think a lot of people don't believe it, so I don't say a lot about it, but yes, I have, and it happened to me about 20 years ago.
Yeah, you mentioned that. Go ahead and say that again, just for our new listeners. They've never heard it, I bet.
Okay. Well, I was in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. It was the middle of the night, and I suddenly found myself standing in front of a crowd. As near as I can tell, somewhere over in Eastern Europe, in front of in a church that was kind of one of those Gothic type cathedral type churches, and the kind you'd think you would normally run into real starchy Christians in, but these were not the starchy type folks. They were just really jubilant and filled with the Spirit, and God had done a miracle right in front of them by bringing me there. So I preached to them for at least a couple of hours. I didn't have track of time very good because I didn't have a watch or anything, but I just preached until it was gone, and then I went right back.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it was in the middle of the night where I left, but it was in the middle of the day where I went. So
mm-hmm.
I went and I came back, and the people, I didn't understand what I was saying, Daniel, because I was speaking in tongues, and I was speaking in their language because they understood it very well. But when I came back, it was again, it was closer into the morning, and I went to sleep for a very short time, and I woke up, and my wife, she saw me dragging around, and she said, well, what's the matter with you? I said, well, I've been preaching all night, you know, and I was just totally, you know, tired because I really hadn't slept. I know that God could bring you back totally refreshed. He's done that with me. I've been totally refreshed. In fact, I had recently when I was going on a tour, I asked the Lord to come to me and refresh me. And I tell you, it was total dark, but I believe it was an angel of the Lord that came in the room and touched me
mm-hmm.
and strengthened my body and strengthened my mind, which is what I prayed when I went to bed.
Well, I tell you what, David, it is interesting that you say that because the way I look at biblical things is that there seems to be a whole lot of people moving around supernaturally, like being transported or translated, coming back from the dead. It seems like the book is full of supernatural events, and it seems like when you get to the modern church, for the most part, it seems to be dead letters, like they're talking about these things, so it's exciting to hear somebody's having something comparable to what actually happened in the Bible. I don't believe it, the Bible ever said it would stop having these supernatural events. But Dave, we had a guest on our show a couple of weeks ago, and he was saying that he was being transported, and he invited everyone else to be transported, but the outer body experience is what he said, and I don't think he was saying that God was helping him along the way. Does the devil have a counterfeit body leaving experience?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm not saying that the Lord won't do it and won't do it a lot more. As we enter into the times that are coming, it's going to be more and more common, but the devil also does the same thing. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you about my own sister when I was very young, when I was younger, anyway, and she had gotten into Ek Angkar. And Ek Angkar was soul travel. I'm sure you've heard of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and it is it's a matter of hitching up with the Ek Master and traveling to places or through the universe or on the other side of the door to get the key or whatever.
Yeah.
You know,
going through a black hole.
Sir?
Going through a black hole to get there.
Yeah, or something okay. like that. Yeah.
Well, I asked him. I said, "How do you know if you leave? How do you know you're going to come back?" You know.
Well, you know, the Bible does talk about the silver cord being loosed and you're not coming back. And the Ek Angkar people understand that you can get out there and the silver cord be snapped and you wouldn't get back. It happens
yes.
sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're dealing with the devil, you can't trust him.
Oh, really?
Oh, really? So,
would their spirit be out there somewhere in space and their body still be here, or would their whole body disappear?
Well, they would have a dead body, that's for sure.
Or perhaps that would be one of those spontaneous combustions. They just blow up.
I don't have any experience in that, but I do know that if your spirit and soul leaves your body, you're a dead body. So.
Hey, David, I got a question. This is kind of a personal question. I have a dear friend who continues to see numbers, the same numbers, and believe it or not, the numbers are sequential. 666 and then 777 appear in different ways, and they continue. It seems to be way out of the ordinary of coincidence. Does God ever speak to us in numbers?
Oh, absolutely. And it seems to be just in the last few years that many people are seeing the same phenomenon. And matter of fact, it happened to me today twice. Woke up 7:55, and next time I looked at the clock, it was 5:55. And the Lord's been giving me a lot of fives lately, and He's indicating to me, because I've gone through a pretty good trial here recently with some persecution and troubles from others, the Lord was speaking to me of His grace that was with me. You know, five, most Christians recognize the number five as the number of grace, and it is certainly true that the Lord's grace has been with me the last couple of weeks when I've gone through these things, and He's reminding me, you know, and if He's not reminding you of anything else, He's reminding you that He's with you,
mm-hmm.
that He can put it in your heart and your mind to look at the clock at a certain time.
Mm-hmm.
If He can guide you without you even knowing that He can guide you, then what else can He do for you? He's there.
Mm-hmm.
He loves you. He can get you where He wants you. Many Christians are anxious and troubled about being in the will of God. And I'll just tell you right now, folks, being in the will of God is not as hard as you think. Because you trust in God to get you there. He's able, like the Bible says, to work in you to will and to do of His good pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine just happening to look at the clock and it happens to be 555 or 666 or 222. Mm-hmm. Well, what is God saying? I know one thing he's saying, that he is an absolutely sovereign God. He works all things after the counsel mm-hmm. of his own will. Not a hair of your head can fall without all the rest of them being numbered. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a uh-huh. this is an absolutely sovereign God. And don't worry. If you ask God to do something for you, he can do it. And if you ask him to get you somewhere, he can get you there.
Okay, well, all right. Well, David, I got this question. I'm going to coincide with this, a question from the Fast Blast. It says, why would God choose to use parables to communicate with the objects of his creation? And I want to put an addendum on that. Would God tell you something that he knows that you would not understand deliberately?
Well, if I'm understanding your question correctly, yes, he tells many things that he knows that we can't understand, and that's the reason for the gifts of word of knowledge and wisdom. This is wisdom and knowledge that comes to people but is not assimilated through the senses. You see, most of our wisdom and knowledge comes through book learning, through our experiences, people around us, our environment, and so on and so forth. But there's a gift called the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, which don't have anything to do with coming through your senses. It is God giving you wisdom and knowledge that you don't perceive through your senses or any other way. It is supernatural. And it's been happening to me, I guess for a little over 30 years. Actually, I prayed when I was a baby Christian. I started praying, and I prayed for about a year after I became a Christian, that God would give me understanding concerning the scriptures, that God would give me the truth. I wanted the truth. I prayed for wisdom. I prayed for knowledge. These things were in my heart to pray. I know God put them there. And at the end of about a year of this, the Lord, well, first of all, he sent, I think, three prophets to me to tell me almost the same words. Do you know that God has given you the word of knowledge and wisdom? And by the time the third guy came along, I said, yes, I know. Well, at the end of that year, that's what happened, is God started manifesting to me word of knowledge and wisdom about things that I just couldn't figure out with my mind. You know, the thing is, folks, if you ask God to give you understanding and truth, he can give you this gift. You know, many, many preachers are out there totally dependent upon their mind to try to figure out things that God has hidden from the foundation of the world. And I'm going to tell you what, you can't do it without him. It is grace. When he opens your understanding and gives you truth, it is grace. When I was a year old in the Lord, I thought I had figured some things out with my mind. But when word of knowledge and wisdom started coming to me, I realized I didn't know anything, and that I needed to go to him for truth, and I needed to trust in him for truth. And it was just awesome when he started showing me these things. I want to say something else, though, because when he started giving me word of knowledge and wisdom, he also showed me how to prove it in the scriptures. The revelations that he gave me were all founded in the scriptures. You can't trust anything that's not out of the word of God, and there's a reason for that. God has given us a rock, a stable rock that he's not going to change. The Bible says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Once God said something, he's not going to change his mind. So if you get a word of knowledge or wisdom or discernment or prophecy or whatever that's contrary to the word, you need to throw it out. That's our rock, you see. Okay. People do these things. I mean, I've been dealing with the minister here for the last couple of weeks. He said, God said this and God said that. I said, well, that's contrary to the word of God. I mean, how can that be, that we have a schizophrenic God, that he would say something one time and something different the next?
David, we were talking about dreams and how that the average person, hopefully, can start to tune in and possibly hear some of these fantastic dreams, and maybe God's been speaking to us all along.
That's true. It's a great gift. It's been wonderful in my life for the last 30 years. Matter of fact, it's been like I've had a prophet with me all the time, because many times the Lord has given me dreams and visions of things that were coming in my life, or directions that he wanted me to go in my life, or warnings about things in my life, and it's been very, very valuable. In the times that are coming, it's going to be extremely valuable, and it's going to be very common.
Mm-hmm. Now, what type of things are coming?
Troubles. Big troubles are coming to America.
Well, I'll tell you what, before we get into the troubles, we've got a few more questions on the Fast Blast. For anyone who's listening, go to the edgeam.com website, click on Fast Blast, it comes right here to the studio. Are all dreams from God?
Well, let me say that the Bible does say in John chapter 3 that a man can receive nothing except it come from heaven. However, all dreams don't come through God. Some do come through demon spirits. They do come through the evil side. And others come through the good side, mm-hmm. through God or his angels, you know, manifest them in us. But like the book of Job, you see there the truth that that Job, as a child of God, was only under a sovereign God, and even the devil had rules that he had to go by. We open doors for demons to torment us in our dreams sometimes, and we need to close those doors. For instance, Matthew 18 and 34, if you don't forgive your brother from the heart, Jesus said his father would turn you over to the tormentors until you shall pay what was due. Well, that's letting you know that the Lord controls those tormentors, and that they come for chastening. They come to cause people to repent, to turn away, to forgive, to make things straight with God.
Are you saying that God sends tormentors to our dreams?
I'm saying that God said, that Jesus said that the Father would turn us over to the tormentors if we walk in willful disobedience, basically.
Well,
you know, the Bible says in Hebrews 10:26, if we sin willfully, there remains no sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment. Mm-hmm. In many cases, that judgment comes through the hands of demons.
Well, if you're in a dream, David, and so let's just say the enemy, the negative force, the devil, demons, and they come to you in your dreams, can you tell them to get out, or must you endure whatever it is they do to you or tell you in the dreams?
Well, if you are bound in some willful disobedience, in many cases you might tell them to get out, but they will ignore you because you've opened the door for them, you've made it possible for them to be there. If you're walking with the Lord now and you've put your sins under the blood by confessing them and renouncing them, then you receive authority over the devil. You know, Jesus gave authority over all the power of the enemy, and he said, nothing shall in any wise hurt you. He gives that authority. You know, if our heart condemn us not, the Bible says, we have boldness towards God, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we do the things that are pleasing in his sight, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. So, you know what, if your conscience is not bothering you, you can have boldness, the boldness of God, to command these demons. Because actually, a person who's walking with the Lord has authority over all these demons, just like Jesus said. And he said, these signs will accompany them that believe. They will cast out demons.
Does God speak to unbelievers in dreams? Because, you know, in the Edge Radio broadcast, not everyone is a believer, but they're just seeking information and some truth that may be on this side of it. Does he speak to them?
Yes, he does sometimes. And I'll say this, even though some people may be unbelievers, it doesn't mean that they weren't chosen by God from the foundation of the world to ultimately come into the kingdom. And sometimes he deals with them in dreams, sometimes way ahead of the time when he does draw them into the kingdom. And they remember these dreams, and they think about them, and they, you know, Lord uses them on them, you know.
So, but in the meantime, probably they would probably have some conflicting dreams, the evil one trying to keep them on their side, and the light trying to draw them back over there.
Yes, that's true too.
That sounds like a very tormented person, so hopefully.
I've prayed over a lot of people who were tormented with dreams, you know,
really?
Or tormented by demons, and, you know, the Lord gave us authority over those demons to set the captives free, like Jesus said, like Isaiah 61 said of Jesus. You know, that same anointing has come on Jesus' disciples from that day until this to do the same thing that he did.
Yeah, I understand there's a hierarchy of demons, per se. Do you think there are dream demons, and that's their category?
Well, you know, I can't say that the Lord has spoken to me about that, so I couldn't say thus saith the Lord on that, but I do believe that just about any demon can manifest in your dreams and torment you.
Yeah. What would you say is thus saith the Lord, that you know for a fact that he told you, and thus saith the Lord? I mean, you just like shook your whole being, and you were rattled out of your mind and your conscience. It just shook you, and you heard him. What did God say to you on that order?
That's a pretty broad topic.
Well, let's just say the one that had the most impact on you, David. How about that?
Oh, gosh. There's been so many over the years. I tell you the words of knowledge are you talking about just a dream or a word of knowledge?
Yeah, no, I'm talking about a thus saith the Lord. I want to know something about a thus saith the Lord. To me, this sounds like a giant stamping his foot down, you know, and demanding that you pay attention and that the world better pay attention. Is there a thus saith the Lord in David L.'s life that maybe you need to tell us, or maybe just for yourself? I mean, for instance, get right, or, you know, whatever. I'm trying to give you a little help there to, if there's for a thus saith the Lord.
I believe that America, I mean, I can put together a lot of things that the Lord has told me, and I can tell you that America is headed for big trouble. There's a reason for this. I know that a lot of people are studying what they can do to correct America and make America right. But I can tell you very sadly, folks, it's not America that's going to be made right. It's going to be the people of God that's made right, and God's going to use America to make the people of God right. America is about to bring God's people into great tribulation, just exactly the way the great eagle did in the time of Babylon. They brought the people of God into bondage. And this is a word of knowledge that the Lord gave me, that the head of gold in Daniel chapter 3 is America. And America brought the nations underneath them. That's the symbol that we see in Daniel, when Babylon brought all the nations underneath them. And America is going to do the exact same thing. America is going to bring the church into bondage, just like Babylon brought Israel into bondage. The American Christians are very patriotic, but I can tell you that God is going to change their minds about that, because the way that America is about to become, it's going to become more and more reprobate. It's going to be used of God to persecute the saints who, let me tell you, have been rebellious against God. You said it, Daniel. You looked in the book and you saw the signs and the wonders and the miracles and the power that the early saints have. What happened? Well, there's been a great falling away. God is determined before the end to restore everything that's been taken from the church. Joel prophesied of this. In fact, he said it would be on the morning of the third day, which is where we are right now, the morning of the third prophetic day.
Mm-hmm.
God is going to begin to restore all these things, and one way he's going to do that is to bring persecution against the church. America is going to lead, I'm telling you right now, in the name of Jesus, America is going to lead the church into tribulation. America is going to persecute the saints for the sake of protecting itself. God is using the militant Muslim people to come against America. America is going to seek to defend itself at the expense of the Christians, not only here, but in other places in the world. A great persecution is coming against the saints. And people are studying, again, the conspiracies, the things that are going on in the government, who's ruling who, and all these things. But let me tell you, if a man's ways please the Lord, he makes his enemies to be at peace with him. You see, God's people don't need to worry about those things that God has in his control. What they need to worry about is believing the Word of God again, submitting to the Word of God again, walking by faith in Jesus Christ, so that they please the Lord. When they please the Lord, he will make their enemies to be at peace with them. The reason God is raising us up, I mean, some people are going to call me heretic here, but the reason God is raising enemies up to the people of God is because they are not pleasing him. He has done this throughout history. Read your Bible, folks. Six major times and many lesser times when God's people were in rebellion to the Word of God, he raised up an enemy. In the Old Testament, he called them beasts. He raised up an enemy kingdom to come against them, to crucify them, spiritually speaking, and to bring them to repentance. And every time he did this, it did bring them to repentance, at least a remnant of them to repentance. You're never going to bring all of the people that are called the church to repentance, because they're not the church.
Well, David, let me answer this question here. We have listeners around the world, and we've got a question here from Ireland we want to get to in the second hour, because it seems like our second hour subject, or second half of our interview. Once this persecution happens to the church in America, as you say, God has revealed to you, is the rest of the church in the world, are their countries going to follow suit as what happens to the American Christians, or are they going to be much safer than those remaining here?
Well, the Lord is... let me explain something to you. Whenever Israel, who is our type and our shadow, 1 Corinthians 10 and 11, what happened to them happens to the church. You know, whenever Israel, as a little Middle Eastern nation, rebelled against God, God would raise up an individual beast kingdom to bring her into submission and basically bring her to her cross, okay? And, you know, it was Egypt and Assyria, Babylon, Media-Persia, Greece, Rome, all of these conquered little bitty Israel, and for the same purpose every time is because they rebelled against the Word of God. Now, in the New Testament, something has changed. First of all, he grafted in to the olive tree that's called all Israel, the church. Through faith, he has grafted them in. Now he's dealing with a worldwide people, not just a little Middle Eastern nation. He's dealing with a worldwide people to bring them to repentance because basically they have walked in the steps of their spiritual forefathers and have rebelled against the Word of God and have fallen away. We're in a great falling away, as you pointed out, Daniel. Now, if he's going to deal with this worldwide people, like he dealt with little Israel with individual empires, what's he going to do with a worldwide empire? Like the One World Order that's coming, by the way, folks, is a joining together of the nations for one purpose in God's plan. That purpose in God's plan is to persecute the church because the church is not the church. You know, church means, like it's translated actually from a word, ecclesia, which means the called out ones. And, you know, when Jesus came, he did call a group out of apostate Judaism. It was those disciples that we know so well when we read the Gospels and the book of Acts. Now, the Lord is about to do the exact same thing because he just repeats history. The things that have been are the things that shall be, and the things that have been done are the things that shall be done. That's what he said. So he's repeating history. Now, he is calling out of apostate Christianity a group of people which are the actual true church. The rest will not come out. Just like in Judaism, in Jesus' day, they would not come out, they would not follow him, they would not submit to his new covenant. Now, we've got the same situation with what we're calling the church. Obviously, if you read the Gospels one time, if you read the New Testament one time, and you compare that to most churches, Daniel, you pointed it out very well, they don't appear to even look the same at all. They don't even look like a close facsimile.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, the Lord in Hebrews 13 called his covenant an everlasting covenant.
All right.
Now, we've got religions out there claiming that God changed the covenant in the middle. Mm-hmm. How could it be? It's an everlasting covenant.
Okay, Dave, we're going to have to cut you off right there. We've got to go to our 9 o'clock break, so just stay with us through the break, please.
Okay.
All right, everybody, you listen to The Edge radio broadcast. My name is Daniel Ott, and on the line we have with us David Ells. You need to stay tuned. If you weren't shocked enough in the first hour, it's going to get hotter in a second. And remember, this broadcast will be recorded and put up on our website tomorrow without commercials for your enjoyment. But I don't know if you can enjoy it more than you might be shaken. And if you know somebody else needs to be shaken, you just burn them a copy and send them over there. We'll be right back after the break.